Chapter 2. You know, I've been talking about the ABCs of Christianity, about faith and Christianity and salvation. And tonight I'm on the D's. Most of you already know 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you don't, you'll know it as soon as I start reading it. On Monday nights, we've been studying in the Bible Institute. We're studying the book of Revelation, and so far it's took me 2 weeks to get through the introduction. And then they ask me questions that have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm teaching. And then I spent 3 hours Monday morning digging, studying, writing, typing, copying, printing answers to 2 questions that had absolutely nothing to do with the book of Revelation. So we're moving kind of slow, but if you want to come, we're in the book of Revelation. I think I'm going to have to clamp down on those questions and maybe do it some other way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you look at it with me, verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, or allows, will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, see that's capital W, talking about a person, that's his name, wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Watch out for those TV preachers. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now God does this. I mean, you can only turn away so many times. So that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But here's why. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's about 4 sermons in that little passage of Scripture, but I'm going to take one, okay? And he's talking, of course, he's talking about the end time, the Antichrist, Satan, and the world being deluded by Satan and his Antichrist. But I want to take, if you will, look at that verse 10 and 11, and we'll go from there. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. We are living in a deluded generation.
Amen.
A deluded. I mean, it's awful. People are not. Now, I was deluded. I was raised that way. My generation was raised that way. We were deluded. We had delusions of what God was or was not, and what right and what wrong was. But we were not reveling in our unrighteousness because we were deluded. We were just unrighteous by nature. But the age that we live in now, people are so deluded in their unrighteousness that they revel in it.
Yeah.
And then they don't just revel in it, they want you to do it with them.
Yes.
And then if you're not going to do it with them, they want you to at least tolerate their delusion. But we heard it a long time ago. You must tolerate us, LGBTQRSPNO, whatever else. You must tolerate us because you're a Christian, and Christianity is all about toleration.
Yeah.
And then they said, you must accept us like we are because God made us this way. And I'm not just talking about homosexuals. I'm talking about the whole crowd. And then after we tolerated and then they accepted, then they said, now you must celebrate with us that we are the way we are. Well, we don't have to do those things. But that's the generation that we live in. And if you don't go along with their delusions, then they'll say that you are deluded. And if you watched any of the impeachment hearings, you heard that back and forth. It ain't us, it's you. It ain't us, it's you. Hey, we didn't do that, you did that. And so we're in an age that last, I know it's the last church age, and I think it's the very last of the last days. And like he said, the only thing that lets or allows, that's an old English word, the only thing that allows these things to be held back, what's holding everything back from being worse than it would be, is the Holy Spirit himself. Amen. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, we'd be deluded. He's what opened our, he's what convicted us of our sins. He's what drew us to the Savior, and he's what regenerated our spirit, and he's the one that leads us, guides us, comforts us, and teaches us, and empowers us. And if it wasn't for him, we'd be just as deluded as anybody in this generation today. Thank God. I got saved in 1978, and I look back over that. Brother Jeffrey, I'm a big fan of history, and I love church history in America. And I've studied it since the Puritans, the Pilgrims. And boy, as time went along, there were great revivals in our land, and God swept through our country on several occasions. People just getting saved, the Great Awakening. There were two great awakenings in America where God just had to wake America up. And he even put us through two world wars to wake us up. But you study that, and then you'll see after the world wars, after World War II, when our fathers and grandfathers came home and the big baby boom. Now they make fun of the baby boom. They make fun of baby boomers. And but we were born as a result of those men coming home. But see, when they came home, they thought, well, now we're going to go to work, we're going to raise our families, and we're going to get, we're going to own a house, we're going to have two automobiles, we're going to be able to go on vacation every year, we're going to have a TV, and they started living for the things of the world, and they forgot God. And so over time, churches begin to diminish with that. And everybody was a fundamentalist in the 40s and before that. Everybody believed the Methodists believed the fundamentals of the faith. Presbyterians did. All of them did except the cults like the Catholics. But then you get into the 50s when the kids are being born and they're starting to grow up. In the 60s, and we get farther and farther away from God as a nation. The churches get farther and they compromise a little here, compromise a little there. So by 1978, when I got saved, our generation, that was just about the last time that our generation was getting saved in mass. I'm not saying Billy Graham died right, but at one time he was right. And he did some good crusades, and other men did good crusades. And so by 1980, the salvation, the professions of faith were just falling off. There wasn't hardly anybody getting saved anymore. So most of us got in on the tail end of that generation. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And now look where we are today. Look where we are today. I thank God I wasn't born 10 years later. I just thank God. He saved me when he did. Amen. Because I'd have been a mess. I would. So what'd y'all do? Run my wife off? Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. I'm fixing to talk about her. I want her to hear it. Sometimes I'll kid Brother Michael. I'll say, I just thank God he saved me when he did, because if he hadn't, and I hadn't married you, if I hadn't married her, I wouldn't have got saved, because I wouldn't have come up here, and up here is where I heard the gospel.
Amen.
If I hadn't married you, I'd be living in a one-bedroom mobile home down in Kershaw somewhere with a ponytail, an earring, and a Harley Davidson.
Yeah. That's right.
She said, you would not? I said, I wouldn't. She said, no, you'd be riding a Honda.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I just thank God he saved me when he did, because look, I was deluded. I was under delusional thinking. You were too. We thought we were good enough to go to heaven. We thought, and well, we, some of us did. I didn't. I never thought that. But look, we had delusions by the music we listened to and by the, our heroes and stars and all those things. And now that's been multiplied by 1,000 times now. There are some deluded, or they believe a lie. Now, 98 people here Sunday. I'll guarantee you, out of 98 people, there are some people here who have been deceived and are not saved. I guarantee it. I guarantee Sunday there are 98 people here, and I guarantee you a good number of those people think they're going to heaven, but they've never been born again. That's why I wanted to preach on the new birth so hard Sunday. I wanted to just lay it out plain. I didn't want to beat around the bush and verse here and the sermon, verse there. I want to just, this is what it is. Do you have it? And boy, the Lord showed up, and I can see it on their faces. Some of them have been deluded. But God, open your eyes. I went to church, you know, and over at Eastside Baptist Church, wasn't much bigger than this. And we sat in there, and that preacher stood up there and preached. And I realized that I had been blind. I'd been deluded. I had delusional thinking, you know. And God woke me up after visiting that church a few times. He woke me up. But there's a lot of people who believe a lie. A lot of people. Used to be in the South, Rock Hill, York County, well, Rock Hill had one Catholic church. It was over there, St. Anne's. Was that the name of it? St. Anne's? What? What? No, that's not the same St. Anne's. This one was over there. Terry, what's the name of that street, St. Burr?
South Jones?
It was? But it only held a few people. Now the one they have now hold like 2,000 people. Because all these people have moved down here from up north, and all these Latino people who are Catholic, they have service there. We was talking to somebody, me and Terry was one day, a banker or somebody, and he's from somewhere else and he's a Catholic, and he told us he goes to that Catholic church over in Fort Mill. That used to be a little old, like a one-room church. Now he says they have like 2 or 3 services on Sunday, and there's thousands and thousands of people go there. Now, hey, I don't dislike Catholics. I love everybody. But I'm saying there's no hope in the Pope. There's no hope in the Pope. Mary can't save you. It's Jesus Christ alone. And without him, you're not going to be saved. But people have been deluded. There are Baptists in this town that think they're going to heaven because they got baptized. And they've been deluded. They're not saved because they got baptized. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you get baptized. You don't get baptized to believe. You get baptized because you do believe. There's Presbyterians in this town think they were born to go to heaven. There's Methodists think that they're living a good enough life to go to heaven. There's holiness that think because they speak in unknown tongues, they're going to heaven. And there's some people just think they don't need church at all. They're good enough to go to heaven without anybody else. Now that's a strong delusion, because you can't be honest with yourself and believe any of those things. You don't get any assurance or comfort out of any of those things I just told you. And then there's some that they just live like hell itself. Yeah. They live like hell itself. And if you talk to them, oh no, I'm going to heaven. Yeah. And you say, no, you're not going to heaven. Drunkards aren't going, and drugs and drunkards, same thing. Look, you live like that and you think you're going to heaven. And you don't need church, you don't need God, you don't need a pastor, you don't need anybody to pray for you. Somebody sent you a strong delusion. You've been deluded.
Amen.
And it's the devil himself. God wouldn't tell you that. God's never going to go against his word, Brother Jeffrey. If God said it'd be in here. Luke 12:19. Look at 12:19. In verse 19 he says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up for himself and is not rich toward God." In other words, this rich fool, he thought because he had that he had a lot of stuff, God was taking care of him. Now don't get me wrong, all good gifts come from the Father above, all of them. Every good thing came from him. But just because he let you live and breathe and learn how to make money and buy stuff and accumulate stuff, that does not mean the blessings of God. That doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven because you got stuff. There's people living out here in shacks I can take you to, and they ain't got nothing, and they're on the way to heaven. They've been born again. And how hard is it for a rich man to go to heaven? But they've been deceived because I don't need anything. I don't need your God. I don't need your religion. I got stuff. Well, Jesus said, "Who's going to get your stuff when you're gone? Because you're leaving tonight." Amen. I hope you got your wheels tidied up because you're leaving tonight, you fool. Amen. He called him a fool. Whew. Now, there's some people that are deluded because they believe that riches are the same as God's blessings and God's assurance. But God said, "Thou fool." A fool is a godless wretch. This man didn't have God. Now God does take care of people. He said, "I'll supply all you need from my riches and glory." But let me tell you something. He didn't say he'd give you a bunch of stuff to give you assurance of going to heaven.
That's right.
Now, if you got stuff, you'll thank God for it. Amen. Right. You'll thank God for it. A lot of people don't have it. A lot of people, most people in this world are less than our poorest people in this country.
Amen.
The poorest people in this country are rich compared to 2/3 of this world that we live in. The poorest people.
That's the truth.
The ones that live in government housing and complain about it. The ones that ride a bus every day and complain about it. The ones that get food stamps and complain about it. They're richer than most of the rest of the people in this world. They eat 3 times a day and snacks in between. Got a color television in every room. Got cell phones. Boy, don't get me on that. But look here. Trusting riches won't get you to heaven.
Right.
And look, if you're watching me on Facebook tonight, if anybody thinks because you got stuff, that's the blessings of God, let me tell you who the God of this world is. He can give you anything you want. He's the same one that took Jesus up to the mountaintop and said, "Look at that. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of that."
Amen.
And he could do it too.
Yep.
This is his world. Amen.
Right.
Not the earth, but this is his world. He runs this place. He's in charge of this stuff unless God gives it to you. Now if that's all it takes to delude you and give you some kind of delusion that you're going to be all right, that you're going to go to heaven, he'll give you some stuff. Now look at these fellas riding around here, riding on, $25,000-$30,000 motorcycle. God blessing me. Well, somebody is. So look at these guys riding around these $60,000, $75,000 cars. And they'll say, "Well, God blessing me." I said, "Well, somebody is. I don't know if it's God or not, though. I wouldn't be counting on that." All these new houses they're building around here now. And there's some neighborhoods and up and down this road. Houses start at $300,000, go up, you know. Can you imagine that guy in a $1 million mansion at the top of the hill, goes down the hill every day to work, and as he goes out to the poor streets, he comes down by those $300,000 houses and says, "Well, white trash." He said, "God must not be blessing you. I live at the top of the hill. My house is bigger." No, sir. Thou fool. That's not going to get you to heaven. Amen. I'm not against stuff. Hey, if you got it, thank God you got it. If you won't give it away, I need some. I take all, now don't give me your junk, you know. I want your junk. People come over here all the time, they give the Lord their junk. You'll find a box out there of clothes that they couldn't sell at the yard sale. So they said, we'll take that in church. They'll take it. And God will like that. We gave an offering. He don't want your junk. Amen. But look, that's a delusion, trust in riches. Acts 24:25. This is Sunday morning preaching, man.
Yes,
Acts 24, look at verse 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, see, he's thinking about it. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance means taking care of your 70 and living temperately, not extravagantly of drunkenness and all that. And judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have convenient season, I will call for thee. Do you know what he was doing? He was thinking there's plenty of time. He'd been deceived. Somebody deceived that man. And somebody had told him, and you know it's the devil. You know it's the devil. Am I going too fast?
No, sir.
Do y'all come to this church on Sunday? Acts 24:24-25. But look, somebody has deceived this man to make him think he had more time. Now, I've been preaching a long time. Well, it don't seem like long to me. It seems like I just started the other day. And sometimes when I listen to my sermons, I sound like I just started the other day. But I've been preaching a long time. I've been pastoring a long time. And I've seen people of all ages, shapes, sizes, colors, socioeconomic levels die. I preached all kind of funerals. I preached them, you know, from the upper class to the very lower class. When I was younger, I was that preacher in town. Everybody called on when they couldn't pay anybody to preach a sermon and the funeral home needed somebody right quick. That would be me. And I still do that. But somebody, God was dealing with this man. And as God was dealing with this man, he said he reasons with it. He thought about righteousness. He thought about temperance. He thought about judgment to come. And he thought about so seriously, and God was on him so much, that he trembled. I remember those days. I'd be scared. I'd go to church. That preacher scared me to death. I'd be sitting there thinking, I'm going to go to hell. I might go to hell any minute now. I'm going to hell. I ain't saved. I need to get something done. And wouldn't go. I'd put it off. I never told him, but I thought in my head, I'm going to wait for a more convenient season. And then he'd come to my house. He'd say, Ron, you need to get saved. I'd say, well, when I quit drinking, I'll get saved. A more convenient season. When I quit cussing, I'll get saved. A more convenient season. When I quit running around with the wrong people, I'll get saved. A more convenient season. Y'all see what he did? I reasoned it. I thought about it. I knew that man was telling me the truth. And I knew it was true, but I said, but not today. I'm going to wait until I'm too old to sin. That's what it really saying. I'm going to wait till I can't drink no more. My health won't let me. Amen. Wait until my wife's done knocked out all my teeth for cussing at her. I'm teasing. She never did that. But that's what Felix did. He stood there and he trembled. He said, man, you're right, but I'm going to come back later. Now that's a delusion. Because no man knows when he's going to die. And we all know we have an appointment. Do y'all know anybody's lived forever? No. My mama just been gone 2 years now. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years. She'd be 101 today. And I mean, this Tuesday, I think it was. And 101, oh Lord, I can't even imagine. Of course, we didn't think we'd live to be past 30 anyway. I knew I wouldn't live to be past 50. Not the people I run with. Most of them didn't. But see, you're deluded. Satan has deluded people to think they got plenty of time. You know, I see these Super Bowls coming up. Not here. We're going to have church. If you want to watch Super Bowl, stay on watch Super Bowl. I'm going to come worship the Super One. Amen. He's the star. But anyway, that's another sermon. But the Super Bowl's coming up. You know what I thought about Brother Michael? It wouldn't take but about four real smart terrorists to take some dirty bombs in there. There's nuclear stuff floating around out there everywhere, been stolen from the Ukrainians. There's about 60 pieces of uranium has been missing from the Ukrainians. They sold them to somebody, a bunch of crooks. It wouldn't take much to take one piece of that and make a bomb and sneak it in there and contaminate everybody in that place. I read today some kind of professor at one of these big fancy colleges up north, and somebody else that teaches biology, and somebody else, and they had a deal with the Chinese, and they smuggled out these toxins and poisons and germs to the Chinese. Now, why would you do that? We don't ever know. Look, you don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah.
Every day I dodge idiots, and I said idiot.
Amen.
Idiots texting while they're coming toward me.
Amen.
I dodge them. I dodged one yesterday. They came that far over in my lane. And every day you hear people getting hit walking down the road, and that's what it is. And every day you hear somebody cross the center line, hit somebody head on, and killed the people they hit, and that's what it is. You never know. I tell people there ain't about 6 to 12 inches between you and death going down the highway every day. That's how much there is between you and death. That car's coming this way, you're going down. Unless Holroyd's coming, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. God bless him, he's going to live forever. If a car wreck's supposed to take him out, he'll never die. But who knows? Who knows? Look, he was thinking there's plenty of time. There's not plenty of time. You know, my wife's birthday, we celebrate her birthday, and we was all excited, me and my grandkids, and I got to thinking, I just met her the other day. I did. I feel like I just met her the other day. She's 15 years old. First time we met, she was 15, about to turn 16. I just met her. And I ain't going to tell you how old she is now because she'll get mad at me, but it seemed like it just the other day. Just the other day. Amen? Man, this church, 13 years old. Just the other day, we rented that old building over on John Street. Bill Cope and Skeet Cope built us a pulpit. They built us a pulpit and brought it in there and put it up there. We got a bunch of old folding chairs out there, you know. Just the other day. It's just the other day, Tommy Owens was the best deacon you ever seen, brother, wasn't he? I ain't putting down on you, but I'm saying Tommy was a deacon too. Just the other day. Just the other day, I used to pick, I better quit, I'm counting people in. But look, you never know. You never know. And you got to be foolish to say, I'm going to wait to get right with God. And let me tell you something too about Christians. They get deluded about this thing. They'll say, I'm going to get right and I'm going to serve God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I'm young. And when I get old, I'll teach Sunday school. When I get older, I'll be more faithful to church. But that's foolish thinking. You're deluded if you think. I don't know what a day may bring forth.
That's right.
Yeah. I kid with you all the time. I said, don't get excited. All of you, I'm preaching all of your funeral. I've already planned it. I know what I'm going to say about every one of you.
Amen.
Don't y'all want to hang around here? We'll send it to you. We'll email it. Amen. What you laughing about? I got a good one for you. Amen. But listen, we don't know. You might be preaching my funeral. We don't know. Then there's another one. I'm going to quit. I ain't got all night. You hadn't either. Now, James, I don't know about you, but James is pretty tough. And James chapter 4, if you will. James chapter 4. Look at verse 13, 14. I'm going to give those people from Rock Hill a little extra time to get to James chapter 4. And those from Chester even more time to get to James chapter 4. Because you see, out in Chester, they don't have a whole Bible. They have to go house to house and borrow pages when they... Third world country. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? Is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You see what he's doing? He's presuming. Those witnesses they brought in against Donald Trump, they said, did you hear the telephone call? No, but my friend did. And well, how do you know what he said? He said, well, I was just presuming that what he said, that's what he said. And another one said, did you hear the phone call? No, but I assume that's what he said. Oh my goodness. You crippled two half of crutches if you live that way. Amen. Presuming things like things are never going to change. They've always been like this. They're always going to be like this. Somebody deceived you. Things have not always been like this. You ought to ask some of us old codgers that's been around a while. And things will not always be like it is today. Amen. So that's the problem with the generation we live in today. All they see is today. They do not know anything about the past and they don't care to learn it. And they're not looking to the future because they think they're having plenty of fun right now. And they're not going to worry about tomorrow. So this current generation knows today. And you'll be talking to them, you'll say, well, you remember how church used to be? Have you ever read about the old revivals, you know, and Finney and Whitfield and Spurgeon and Moody and all these people? No, I don't know nothing about those, but we got some new lights down at the church. Some of them's red, some of them blue. So yeah, but you ever been to a real revival? Well, I think so. We started singing the other night. The preacher never did get to preach. We just sang and sang, and people danced, and they swayed, and they sang, and we cried, and we laughed. And I said, that ain't revival. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. But they assume that's the way it's always been, and they don't want change. A lot of Christians feel that way. God's already always blessed them. He's always took care of them. And they've never had a heartache. They've never had a heartbreak. They've never had disappointment. I'm telling you the truth, there's people, Christians that way. And they just assume it's going to be that way. And if God takes his hand away and lets the devil at them like he did Job, they wouldn't know what to do. And by the way, he will do that. He'll try your faith. We'll see what you really believe in. Amen. But you are deluded if you think things will never change. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I cried at my daughter's wedding, all three of them. I cried like a baby. I didn't want them to get married. I didn't want them to get married. And I liked them being at my house. And I loved it. I hate a bunch of noise. I don't like a bunch of noise at my house. But now when they come over for Christmas, while when we all get together at one time, I don't talk or hardly do anything. I just sit there and listen. And I am thrilled to my soul because it sounds like it used to. It sounds like it used to. But I know things don't remain the same. And there is heartache. And there is heartbreak. And there is disappointment. And so don't presume it's never going to change. It will. You better be prepared. But most of all, you better be prepared to meet God. You're not sick today, but you're going to get sick. Amen. I ain't ever seen anybody die healthy. Unless they're in a car wreck or something. You're going to get sick. We're all going to get sick and die. That's the curse of sin on this body.
Yes.
Well, I've been going like this for 20 years. Well, come back and see me 20 from there. Let us help you up off the floor. Things change. Well, It's always been good. God's always been good to me, and he always will be good to you. But you better prepare to meet God. You better be saved. Don't assume that you're going to live on forever, and don't assume you're always going to have good health, and don't assume you're always going to have wealth. You better be ready for whatever comes, and the only way you can do that is draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. And you're deceived if you think anything else. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He opens your eyes so you can see things. He opens your ears so you can hear the word of God. That day I got saved, and I preached it Sunday, and I guarantee you, half people didn't understand what I said. I said, the day I got saved, the scales fell off, my eyes were open, and I could see the truth, and I could see things I'd never seen, and see them the way I'd never seen them, and hear things the way I'd never heard them. But the only way you're going to get that, you don't assume you already got it. You draw nigh to God and say, God, if I ain't got it, I want it. He illuminates things. Then he said, I am the truth. Jesus is truth. Let every man be called a liar. But let God be true. Now, in Matthew 12:30, he says, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not for me is scattering abroad. And if you think anything else, you are deluded by the devil. And these bunches get together, and they want us and our church to join up with them in all these big meetings and stuff. I said, no, we're not doing that. Because half the people there are deluded. Half the preachers are deluded. I'm not getting in with that mess. I don't want them misleading the people that come here. It's people that come here. Every once in a while somebody said, why don't you have old so-and-so come over here and preach? I said, I don't know him. I don't know him. If I did know him, he'd have to meet some high standards before I'd let him preach. Because I'm not been deluded. I've been deluded. You have too. We've all been deceived. We've all been tricked. Every one of us. But you better get this right. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. There's no middle ground. You're either bringing people to him by your life, your walk, your talk, your dress, your behavior, your habits, your hobbies, your words. You're either drawing people to Christ or you're driving them away. Yeah. And to think anything else, you are deluded. The devil's tricked you. And we live in a deluded generation. When anything goes, and old Grandpa God's going to let them get by with it. I got news for you. The devil's told them that. Yeah. Thank God you're not. If you are, we got a place for you right here at the altar. We'll help you. Help you get to the cross. Amen. Come to the cross. He'll open your eyes. Let's stand. My time's out. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God. Thank you for opening my eyes. I could see it. And God, thank you. I don't have to search 114 English translations to find it. Find some professor to be a little pope to explain it or some seminary teacher to tell me what it says. You've opened my eyes. You've illuminated my mind. I can open up the word of God and read it and understand it and not be deceived because of it. It's you. It's not me. It's all you. Thank you for giving me a mind of understanding, a heart of faith. I pray tonight, Lord, I thank everybody as far as I know and here says they're saved. If they're not, I pray you'd open their eyes. And those that are saved, Lord, don't let the devil put scales on their eyes either. And then, Lord, protect us from this old wicked world.
Yes, sir.
And fill us with your Holy Ghost, your power. Let us go out here and preach the gospel to other people that the scales might fall off their eyes also. Bless this coming Sunday, Lord. Come in power and presence. Manifest yourself in this place. Open hearts and minds. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Warm your saints, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.